Our reading from John's Gospel today is told, one that is told in all four Gospels. However, in John's version, this story happens at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It's known as the cleansing of the temple. In the other Gospels, it's told at the end of Jesus' life, in his time here on earth. But for now, the hour had come. And as we experienced last week, the sign of the epiphany of the Messiah was celebration at the wedding of Cana. And it occurs right before the Passover, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So it gives us a chance to kind of take a look at this story and think about it in its own right. We're looking for signs this Epiphany season. And I was joking with Pastor Don this week that it isn't fair that he got to preach on party Jesus and I get angry Jesus. But the sign today is one of justice. And after spending this week with the text, I don't believe for a minute that the emotion is anger, but rather compassion. And to point to himself, Jesus as the Messiah, the new temple, so that all people would have equal access to God. The temple had gone from being a place of collective worship to a busy marketplace, and the busyness of selling and buying and profit-making had taken over the whole system, the temple system, and rather making it a prayerful place of worship and encountering God as a whole, there was this action and busyness that had taken the focus away from what they were there to do. Often actions of justice begin with a dramatic turn, a break in the system. Not just a little tweak, not just a minor change, but a whole break from the system. And so Jesus arrives on the scene and witnesses this system going on and that has moved so far away from what God has intended that the old way of behaving had to be overturned. And I believe that is the verb we need to pay attention to today. Jesus overturns the tables. And we encounter Jesus who takes control of a system, a whole system far away from how God intended, far from the way we were to love God and to love others. And rather than God being at the center of worship or participants coming together as God's people, the law had become the ultimate focus. And I wonder today, how can we overturn systems in our own lives where we feel powerless and unable to affect change? Because that's how I imagine the people. They were just following along. And I believe that part of the issue, too, is that we often tend to think individually rather than collectively about what is good, what is just, what is good for all people. So John and I had a road trip this week up to North Dakota, and I often joke the reason we drive is because John loves to drive and I like to sleep. So it works. And we listened to podcasts and books on tape in between those snoozes. And this week we listened to an interview with Krista Tippett on the podcast On Being. And she interviewed a philosopher and technologist who's the founding editor of Wired magazine. His name is Kevin Kelly. And he speaks to this point of addressing the concept of justice for the collected whole of a community and his fascination with the Amish and how they deal with the system of technology. And I think it applies to how we think of this story today. And these are Kevin Kelly's words. The Amish are often seen as being anti-technological, but actually, they're just behind. They're just later than us. And the canonical vision of the Amish are a community who don't use electricity, who do things without much technology. But the fact is that the story is a little bit more complicated than that. They're changing all the time. They're in the process, though, of always evaluating the technologies of our world today. So Kelly goes on in the interview to take a closer look at how the Amish decide what they're going to use and what they aren't going to use. Kelly contends that the Amish aren't much different than us because most of us are at a point where we just cannot use all the technology. I have a computer, I have an iPad, I've got a phone. That phone I probably use 10% of its overall potential. It's just crazy. There's just too many. So we make decisions, right, of how we're going to use those technologies. And from the outsider, decisions look kind of crazy and irrational. And I will admit that in our house, okay, we have internet but don't watch TV. And most people go, what? How can you do that? Well, it usually takes once a year arguing with the cable company, but it can be done. So the Amish, we know, have no cars and bicycles, but they do allow skateboards. They don't have zippers, but they do allow disposable diapers. And you kind of look and you say, what's the strategy there? You know, what's going on? Well, the theory is very simple. Unlike most Americans who are very individualistic, you know, we decide individually what we're going to use and what we're not going to use, what we're going to profit from and what we're not. You know, we're going to use email, but we're not going to use Facebook, right? But the Amish are different in the way that they decide collectively. And here's where I think we can learn from them. And please don't misunderstand me. Just because Pastor Don isn't in worship doesn't mean that we're all going to turn Amish. No. I'm saying that Jesus is overturning the tables is the point of asking, how can each system serve God collectively? How can each system bring about mercy and justice and live it out as God intended? So Kelly goes on to explain in his interview that the Amish have basically two criteria when they're evaluating technology. One is that will this technology strengthen my family or increase my family? So the ideal is to have every meal with their children until they leave. They want to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day with their children. How many of us sit at a meal with a phone at our side, waiting for it to go off? And then the second one is similar, in which does it strengthen my community? How much time does it bring me together and keep me in my community? So the whole reason for the Amish having horses and carts is because a horse can only go 15 miles away. So they have to go shopping or go to church or go visit all within 15 miles. And that forces them to pay attention to support their local community, their neighborhood. And so when they're looking at new technology, let's say like LED or whatever, does it help them do that or does it not? So they're not rejecting technology. They're saying, we want technology that serves our purposes. So it's up to the community to decide collectively how technologies will affect the family, the community, and their work. And if they don't think that it's a positive, then they give it up. Throughout the Old Testament, there was a pattern of people trying to please God by what they could bring or what they could do individually in the observance of the law. They didn't understand that it was mercy, God's loving God and loving people that would please God, not their individual sacrifices. They had forgotten the real reason for the law and were following along a system that had lost its true meaning. Jesus demands, stop making my house a marketplace. And here is where we, like the Jews, confront Jesus and ask our question. Jesus, what sign can you give us? What sign can you show us for doing this? What sign can you give us for turning this place upside down, for disrupting the system that has been set in place for so many generations? And the turning point is our understanding of God's way of living. Jesus answers, destroy this temple, pointing to his body, this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. So that we are to be focused on Jesus, God in the flesh. The very presence of God is not going to remain in the temple, but in the people of God, where a new commandment will be given to love God and to love others as yourself. A new system of living and moving in the world that has come into being, and we are called through our baptism to be in the one mission shared with Christ. In our marketplaces today, think about that, our financial systems, even the systems at the library, our educational systems, technology systems, our legal systems, to name a few, where we are engaged not individually but collectively. Here's where Jesus calls us to turn over the tables and bring justice, not just for ourselves, but for the whole of God's people. When we make decisions of what to buy or where to spend our money or where to give resources, where to give our time and our energy. It is collectively that we can pause and consider, is this good for the whole community, for all of God's people? To really engage in our world as God commanded and as Jesus showed us in overturning the tables, we are called to come together collectively as the body of Christ and let the words of the prophet be our guiding principle. For what does the Lord ask of us but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God? Amen.